from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Orange County law enforcement is trying to figure out what motivated a 20-year-old man in Ladera Ranch to take up a shotgun yesterday and kill three people before he killed himself. Police have identified the man as Ali Sayed, a part-time student who lived at home with his parents. His first victim was an unidentified woman in that house, reportedly unfamiliar to the parents. The other two victims Sayed killed on local freeways during what appeared to be an indiscriminate rampage. After the fiery standoff that finished ex-cop Christopher Dorner last week, L.A.'s police chief says he intends to follow through on his pledge to reopen the case that forced Dorner out of the LAPD. Erica Aguilar of KPCC reports.
Fired LAPD officer and Navy reservist Christopher Dorner raised allegations of departmental racism and a code of silence that has haunted the Los Angeles Police Department since the late 90s of the Rodney King era and beyond. The city's police chief, Charlie Beck, has promised full public disclosure into a re-examination of Dorner's firing on misconduct charges.
Just like it's important that the public has faith in the police department, it's important that the police department has faith in its own discipline system. And that is fair, and that is equitable.
Beck says he needs the case to be biopsied, even though Dorner's now dead, so he'll know if and where changes need to be made in department procedures. Chief Beck says the Dorner case has brought him closer to his officers. One of those officers, LAPD Captain Philip Tingarides, joined the chief yesterday. For 6 days, he and his family hunkered down at their home surrounded by armed police with rifles. Dorner had listed the captain as one of his targets because he chaired the 2008 disciplinary panel that led to his dismissal. Tingarides says he has new empathy for the people in the rough South LA community he polices.
Some of the talk in the community and that we've heard is, well, you know, how come they were hunkered down? He talks about being courageous and facing criminals all the time as community members. But why is he hunkered down? Now he knows how we feel. That's absolutely true.
Chief Beck says he expects the first part of the review of Dorner's firing would be done by the end of the month, but it could be weeks later until the Inspector General, the Police Commission, and finally the public can weigh in. For the California Report, I'm Erica Aguilar.
President Barack Obama reached out on Tuesday to the Republican members of the so-called Group of Eight, who've released a broad outline for immigration reform. He's already met with the Democratic members. The president has said he'll push his own immigration plan if Congress can't send him one. The process appears contentious from the get-go, but these are exciting times for those who've been campaigning for immigration reform for years. As Francesca Segre reports, they've sprung into high gear to capitalize on this political moment.
At a church in Mountain View in the heart of Silicon Valley, over 100 immigration activists pack into a room for a meeting held entirely in Spanish. It's part pep rally, part civics lesson. The mostly Latino crowd listens intently to an organizer from the group Peninsula Interfaith Action as she points to a rough drawing she's made of the U.S. Capitol.
¿Quién está allí en Washington, D.C.?
Pues al presidente.
¡El presidente!
Who is in Washington, D.C., she asks. Who represents you? During the meeting, activist Macrina Mota stands up and takes the part of Senator Barbara Boxer in a role-playing game. Later, she volunteers to set up a real face-to-face meeting with Congresswoman Jackie Speier. Mota also recounts her story in front of the crowd of being brought to the U.S. at age 15, of living undocumented for 23 years, and of witnessing her husband's deportation. She turned herself into authorities and, in a rare circumstance, was granted residency in 2010. One-on-one, she says she still feels at risk.
I still wake up and have nightmares at the middle of the night, and I go to each room to make sure that my kids are there and my doors are locked. But I do. I have the fear sometimes that if I do something wrong, my license is going to be taken away and they're going to deport me.
Organizers are encouraging activists to tell their stories any chance they get. Irene Blumrad, a sociology professor at the University of California, Berkeley, understands why testimonials are so crucial. She says unlike other social movements, in which activists can make a claim about equal rights under the U.S. Constitution,
Illegal immigrants cannot.
For immigrants, because they're not citizens, they can't make those claims. And so they have to make claims based on the fact that we're all human beings, that people shouldn't be treated as criminals, and that they're making contributions to their communities, to the economy, and that they want to be part of the American future.
And there's another fundamental challenge, says Dr. Blumrad.
Since comprehensive immigration reform largely touches the undocumented and non-citizens, they can't go to Congress people and say, you know, please enact this particular policy and I'll leverage the vote. So they need to be able to convince other Americans, voting Americans, that this is an important cause and it's a just cause.
Which is why the movement is creating coalitions with groups of citizens who can vote. The Service Employees International Union is one key partner. The SEIU has the largest membership of immigrant workers and has long provided resources to the immigrant rights movement. SEIU Secretary Treasurer Eliseo Medina says the base of supporters is growing rapidly nationwide and is increasingly diverse, including evangelicals, Southern Baptists, businesses, and some law enforcement.
We are in the process of building what I think will be the largest grassroots lobbying operation to win immigration reform that will be bigger and broader than any other fight that's been seen in the Congress in a long, long time.
And he adds,
next election in 2014, we will reward those who stood with us and we will punish those who stood against us.
Medina says the union will be looking to California with the largest congressional delegation to set the stage. Organizers are researching who their allies are and who still needs convincing. Macrina Mota, the mother in Mountain View whose husband was deported, says she's ready for the meeting with her congresswoman.
I learned that we need to ask for what we need, so for what we deserve, and we are the one who needs to put the pressure to them.
She says even those activists who can't vote understand they're part of a larger movement that's reaching people who can. For the California Report, I'm Francesca Segre.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, February 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Myra. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallas Family Fund for coverage of climate change. Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com. And Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as balancing network traffic for improved performance. Barracuda.com.